Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends. It's Monday night, and that's Raising Expectations night. And we're so thankful that you turn in. And as you know, we never take for granted that you turn in. We're thankful that God's led you to be a part of this Raising Expectations family. And the things that you talk about, we pray for and we lift you up. And we know that you're praying for us. So it's great to be a part of the family of God. I know that most of you tuning in, you're our family, and you know that we are born-again, blood-bought believers. We believe in the salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, rose from the dead on the third day, and is coming again to receive those unto himself who have received him as Savior. And in the meantime, that's when he's busy raising expectations of people like you and me and all those who look to him on a daily basis to see what he's doing next in our lives, that he might be glorified and we might be satisfied and fulfilled in so many different ways as he works in our lives. We've got a great team, a great family here, as you well know, and I'd like to take you back and direct your attention to some of those people where they're located. So I'm going to introduce the family to you again right now, starting on the West Coast in Lompoc, California. We have, as you know, Dr. Paul Hall. And Dr. Paul is a retired pastor. He's a teacher. He's a professor. He knows the word of God. He loves people as he loves God. And because of that, God loves people through him. And I'm one of those for over 50 years. He's blessed my life. And I know many of you are blessed each week with Paul. Paul's also our scribe. I need to remember to say that when he's looking down, he could be praying. I don't want to say he's not, but he's also writing down special notes that go down from what we talk about so that we can present them in a very special edition of Raising Expectations book that will be coming out with each program in there with a page or so story about them and bringing back memories and might remind you of how God excited or raised your expectations when you were with us on the program. So Paul is there in Lompoc. So if we join up together and fly across the nation all the way to the south, and we go to Dalton, Georgia. And there in Dalton, Georgia, we have two of our favorite people, Steph and Dr. Craig Thayer. Stephanie and Craig Thayer are two of God's special people. Stephanie is, we think, the world's greatest health and wellness coach. And we say that because we just have to tell the truth on this show. So she is, people know her everywhere. She also has a great show where she helps counsel and help women with biblical scriptural things to encourage them when they're going through a rough water. You might have that website if you want to pop that up, TJ. And ladies, you may want to look at that. Live Your Life Out Loud is the name of that website. And she'll be sharing with you as you share with her things, lady to lady, woman to woman with the Lord as you walk through your life and the things that God's doing in your life. So you want to check that out. You can check that off our website also. It'll be listed there. And here it is for you to see tonight. So she's right there in Dalton, Georgia. And also there's a wonderful husband of hers, Dr. Tank, or actually Craig Thayer, but we call him Tank. Tank Thayer is a surgeon, a trauma surgeon. He's also an author. His first book is incredible. It's called Saved. He speaks about God working in the ordinary things of life. And friends, aren't you glad that God does work in the ordinary things of our life? Because most of us live most of our life in the ordinary things, not because we look forward to it, but because we live lives and there's so many of them involved in the parts of our lives. So Finding God in the Ordinary is a book that'll encourage you about how he takes care of needs in your life. And also you'll find his book on the website, Raising Expectations. You'll find it at bbsradio.com, bbsradio.com/ Raising Expectations. And you'll find my book, Legitimate Faith, Producing Authentic Hope. And that's the kind of hope that meets you where you live and takes you where he wants you to go so that you can become all that Christ wants you to be. Legitimate Faith. You'll find both those books written there, and you'll be able to check in on those. So that's all the way there in Dalton, Georgia. And so we want to move back from the South all the way to the center of the United States, Central America, as we call it, in the great state of Texas. One of our favorite pastors, Pastor Ron Greer. He's there in the great city of McKinney, Texas. And I say it every week. I just don't know how not to because the bookcase is so outstanding. But there it is, live and direct from McKinney, Texas. And Ron, his books there for you to see. So you'll be able to check those out. Anyway, Ron is with a counselor. He's a pastor. He has run for office also years ago. And Ron is a guy who loves the Lord and helps men. He's with Men in the Mirror out of Florida, and he works with men all over the nation, really, in helping them to understand who they are and why they are, because God has a plan. No matter whether it's thick or thin at the moment, God will take you through it. So you want to check that website, Men in the Mirror, and there's Ron on that website. Read a little bit about Ron and how, and pray for him as he helps other people, especially men, to become greater husbands, greater leaders in their work, greater disciples of Christ, and greater followers as God leads them each and every day. So this is part of the great team you can see here. We're thankful to be with you tonight. We have people that come on the show quite often, and they're partially extended family. And tonight we have two of our favorite people that are in that category. Many of you know them as soon as we bring up the name. And that is all the way from Southern California. You remember that we have with us tonight Dr. Marianne and her husband, Will Centron, and they are a delightful couple. They love the Lord. People love them. They're helping people all the time. You'll hear more and more about how they both help people with their lives in Christ, and we're delighted they're here. She is an outstanding educator and a creator of great inroads in the understanding and teaching of dyslexia today. They're part of our team and family, and as you know, they've been watching and discussing our nation. We've been talking about that, particularly the last couple of weeks, with Denise Gary Pandol, the U.S. Senator candidate, and also Elizabeth Wong Ahlers from California, who's running for California State Senate. And each has revealed the needs and needs that can meet problems that we're facing. And so we've been talking about that. And then Marianne Centron has looked at the importance of being involved where we fit in as people in the nation today, you also, wherever you are, to make these things happen. God wants to use us to spread truth and to support those people who are doing so. And CJ, if I'm going to let Marianne cover those names in a minute when she's sharing with us, but she's going to give you in a few minutes, CJ has them, the addresses where you can support these two very, very special people, Elizabeth Ahlers, running for California State Senate. We need to be a two-party system in California, not a single party. And also for United States Senate, Denise Gary Pandol. You've seen her twice, and all the comments you've made on who she is and what she stands for. She does an outstanding job, and she knows what's going on. She would make an incredible, incredible senator for us here in California. So without any further ado, we want to introduce and welcome and give the great round of applause. That's 2 weeks in a row. I am on a roll, Ron. Round of applause for Denise and Gary. We're glad you're with us tonight. So Denise and Will, if you just come right in and share from your hearts, we'd be blessed, and we're glad you're with us tonight.
Hey, I'm not Denise. I'm Dr. Mary.
Denise. Well, I was doing so well on the round of applause. Let's see what happens. There's a scripture for that. Pride goes before a fall.
Pride, right, goes right.
That's it, right? You were thinking. I had that.
I was thinking that.
Marianne.
It's a lot to say.
You can call me Fred twice. That'll make a difference.
You know, Denise, and it's such a privilege to know somebody that's running for a public office, right?
Yeah, so well, she's our
I don't
pal.
Don't get offended at all.
Marianne, yeah, so take it away.
You go way back with Denise, and what a privilege to have her running. So she is running for the position of Dianne Feinstein. And Dianne Feinstein was not a person in favor of saving the unborn. Yes. And when the state lost her We did not grieve. We grieved that we wish you knew the Lord, Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
And, you know, we come to you. I'm an educator, but I'm a Christian first.
Amen.
And as I am in the school system and in the colleges, universities, I am a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if things stand out to me that are not right, then I have an obligation to speak up. So being on this show is very different for me because my shows, my YouTubes are very all about dyslexia and how can we help kids read and literacy. And that's my calling for, that's a calling also to help kids read. But who I am as a believer is so important. And as Will and I are transitioning to our senior years, we have a two-year-old grandbaby now. And we watch her 2 to 3 times a week. And my need to get social media out is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking because I've given so much about dyslexia to the world. You know, I have training videos offering such discounted prices that they're almost free, if I could call them $40 a month free, right? I've created, because of COVID, I created training videos and they're out there. And now it's up to the people to sign up and say, we want to help our kids read. But now I'm less promoting the social media and taking care of our granddaughter and getting involved in the community. So what I wanted to share with Denise, we're glad that she's wanting to fill that seat for that Diane held. But there's a lot of people running. So we just need to get a conservative person in that seat. I'm actually in a community that was promoting someone else because they're just afraid. They don't want to split the party. But you know what? We live in California. People just need to vote.
Amen.
And seeing people be apathetic and not vote, or that apathy, right? They just don't want to vote because they don't think their vote counts. But everyone needs to know your vote does count. So just get out there and vote. And Denise has been on the show. I think she's amazing. And I won't even, well, you don't know who the other candidates are that are very popular running.
And there's Denise for you. Uh-huh.
We want to give her our support here. And then the other candidate is Elizabeth Beth Allers. Take a little bit longer with Denise.
Yeah, there's Denise's information, folks. Take it down. There's Elizabeth.
Denise versus DeNephew, right?
Yeah.
And then Elizabeth Wong Allers, I've known for several years from church, and she's a literacy coach. She's a homeschool mom. She is an advocate for parents' rights, kids' rights, you know, parents being involved with their kids. And she was just on last week. And she was, it was wonderful hearing her. And now she's running for state Senate, the California State Senate. And her district is actually, so we have a voter's guide. You know, I don't know,
there's
25, you guys should all get some kind of voter's guide from your community that will help you with judges, because we don't get to hear the judges, right?
Yeah, it's the hardest, position to pick a judge that, you know, that falls in, you know, with your, he's conservative and he's going to, you know, judge by the Constitution, not what, you know, he feels is, you know, the, you know, what he wants done.
Yes.
It's good to have that guy where someone that has gone out and researched the judges and found those judges that fit into our way of thinking and conservative and constitutional. So.
Yes. Amen. Yeah.
So, you know, we have other propositions that we talk about in our community, but, you know, what I want to, we could talk about that if we have time at the end, okay? How the liberals will reframe something like these protective rights of children. Now they're calling them protecting the transgender, right?
Yeah.
They've renamed it. You know, we've gone before school boards to ask them to protect the kids' rights, don't give them hormone blockers, and keep the parents involved if the child wants to be identify as a different gender than what's on their birth certificate, let the parent be informed. And the school boards did not budge. I mean, we might have two votes, but three were against. And we just couldn't win in our local school boards. Some cities have, but ours didn't. But now it's on the California ballot to let the state look at it. And I'd like to look at that at the end of the show and just show you some of the ways they're framing it versus what they should.
They're trying to get the proposition put onto to the ballot for the November election.
For the November.
The way they worded it, it's completely opposite or it's of what it stands for.
What it says, yeah, amen.
Yeah. And so they actually are suing the state attorney general. For not, you know, sticking to the law of how he was supposed to be, you know, write that proposition and not be one-sided. When I first looked at it, I couldn't believe that what I was reading.
Yeah,
because twisted it was going completely off, you know.
Yes, yeah. They're good at that.
Share a little bit. It reads, so first of all, the name of it is, let me see.
They said they worded it, restricts rights of transgender youth initiative statute. That's what how they worded this this
petition
for the to get this ballot on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we believe that bathrooms for boys and men should be for boys and men. And girls and women should be for girls and women, and based on their gender on the birth certificate. And so what they say is this restricts transgender kids and adults in school and colleges to use bathrooms of the opposite sex. Yeah, jeez. But that's okay with us.
How will they ever make it? Oh,
yeah, it's okay. Right? And yeah. Then... the other address, there's four issues that it addresses. Female sports being for females based on the gender of their birth certificate. And they word it as prohibits transgender females grade 7 and above from participating in female sports.
Fair enough.
That's, yeah, that's what it does. But, you know, their words prohibit. And then the third thing. Requires schools to notify parents when a child under age 18 asks to be treated as a different gender.
Mm-hmm.
And so they say, requires schools to notify parents when a child under 18 asks to be treated as a different gender without exception to the student's safety. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not making it sound like we're being unsafe. And then the fourth thing that this... I just want to see. I'm not a politician, so this is not my forte. It's because I'm a Christian I speak forth. But the petition, healthcare to alter a child's sex is prohibited. They say prohibits gender affirming healthcare for transgender patients under 18. So you see how they word it in a way that.
Go ahead, Tank. Yeah.
No, I mean, these are not public schools anymore. They're government schools.
Yeah,
exactly.
By the federal government, because when you sign up, I won't be too mean, but I was going to say with the devil, then you lose control. And then that said, you lose control federally. And if the current federal control is all about transgenderism and recognizing people that haven't felt like they belong before, then that gets told to be taught in public, no longer public government schools. So, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I as a doctor, I got to know what sex they are. Because if I'm going to do something to a guy, it's potentially different than a female. So that's
problem one.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
In California, that's Proposition 1. And as California goes, the state will follow. So we just, you know, California, step up. Let's vote to have this. Let's vote now on March 5th to have it on the ballot in November.
That's so, right.
Yeah. The other things I wanted to share was just being aware. I'm going to go ahead and show my, if I can share the screen, CJ, I'm going to try to, I was told I can share my screen. I want to show you a picture. Can you see this woman, Margaret Sanger?
Yes, right there, Margaret Sanger.
I was at a woman's event about a month ago. It was a networking event. And I was actually talking about the X39 patch that helps you get energy and reverse your aging. And the speaker at the event was talking about heroes who are women in United States or in this nation, and around the world. And Margaret Sanger was one of the heroes that she had on her list. And because I'm informed, I was able to speak with this woman, the speaker, after the conference. And I asked her, would you put Hitler as one of the heroes for men in the nation? And she said, no. And I said, well, that's what Margaret Sanger is, because they, I want to read to you how they listed her. Hold on, I took a picture of this. Okay. They list her as, she was an American birth control activist, sex educator, writer, and a nurse. Sanger popularized the term birth control. She opened the first birth control clinic in the United States and established organizations that evolved into the Planned Parenthood Federation of America. And anyone who knows about Planned Parenthood, their billion-dollar industry focused on aborting babies and even after birth.
Yes.
And, what after birth abortions, and what got my attention with Margaret's, with Planned Parenthood, is they're the ones instigating the sex education in the schools as young as kinder. And they, what they do is they have the verbiage for middle and high school kids, very graphic verbiage of sex acts. And the pictures are in cartoon form, but they're very graphic and very offensive. So Margaret Sanger is not as sweet as they portray her.
Yes.
She's not someone that's a hero at all. So that, and the speaker was very, you know, I pray, I'm like, Lord, am I supposed to be in this group? And I figured God seems to be in the world, just not of it. And if this speaker was open to what I share with her, then it's okay for me to be in these groups. But if I get, if my voice isn't heard and I keep participating in groups like this, then I'm not going to go. So she was very open. And this, you know, what the speaker said was, we don't know what we don't know. And so I told her, you don't know what you don't know. Let me tell you about Margaret Sanger. And not to mention how she wanted to get rid of the black race, right? She just, you know, a lot of the Planned Parenthood.
That's right.
And she was low income in black communities, just wanting to get rid of the black race. And that's terrible.
Ron's got some good insight there. Ron, you shared once, and right on the line. That's excellent. You got a word with that, Ron?
I think she may not know, but there are a lot of folk who painted Margaret Sanger as being this this hero of women's suffrage, but she was indeed a stark racist.
Yes.
Margaret Sanger, her famous Negro Project, you can find in Birth Control Review, probably 1928 to 32, somewhere in there. That entire project was designed to reduce the black population.
Right.
A population she called weeds, by the way, that was a drain on society.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, absolute wicked woman. And that's just in her early years. But she had some very, very sadistic and satanic ideas about marriage, about childbirth, a few other things. Nothing any Christian or anybody there, any decent person should be involved in.
Yes.
She's a hero of a lot of the feminists, and Planned Parenthood, as you say, came out of birth control movement. But people don't know that, for instance, if you look at the eugenics movement in Germany, in Nazi Germany. Well, right. They learned from Michael Singer.
It is
a satanic and
dark
thing. Period. But as you said, also, if you look, I mean, it's just one of the things I've been proving for years and known for years, that the largest concentration of abortion clinics are located in Black and low-income areas. And among all the abortions ever performed, I think it's 60 million we're looking at, probably 34% of all those abortions were Black babies. It's actually genocide. And she's Planned Parenthood has accomplished what Margaret Sanger could only dream of.
Okay, that's it, Ron. You know, you had a good response for her, Marianne. I believe if I remember correctly, a very simple thing could be said there. You know, you really ought to know who you're speaking about before you speak about someone. Because one of the woke secrets, as we all know today, is to speak flamboyantly like you know, and not this lady, but others in woke, I mean, to speak openly like you have all these facts and there's no data to back up anything you're saying. In fact, if you do have the correct science or the correct data, whether it's the weather or anything else, then they don't like it even more because it puts them down. They don't want truth. They don't want Christianity. They don't want faith. And they don't really want life, period, at that point. So we have to be really careful, like you did. I thought that was great, the way you shared with her, Marianne. I know Ron knows that. Yeah.
This was, she passed out a list of the women, and we had to match them to the category. And she just got the information off of Wikipedia. Yeah. It wasn't like she knew at all. And she said somebody brought that to her attention before and she should have redone the list and removed Margaret Sanger. So now she was going to remove Margaret Sanger from that list. But she didn't speak about her. She just, it was on a paper.
Right.
So,
right.
But I can tell you didn't get that from Google Gemini because Amish had light skin, which is kind of funny. I love when really smart things like blow up in people's faces because it's like I don't care who it discriminates against, but it's just a loved one. They think they're doing this great thing for your community and suddenly it just blows up.
Yeah.
And exposes the evil side of what they're trying to do.
Wikipedia was supposed to be right on.
Okay, so
I think you bring up a good point though. I think that's one of the how can I say this gently? One of the sins of the church is that we've disconnected from the public square. So our ignorance does more to encourage and to facilitate the kind of wickedness that goes on than anything else that pagans do. God has called us and commanded us. We're to be this voice. We're to be the watchmen on the wall.
That's exactly right.
We're to be impacted, and we're to be wise and understand and use discernment. We should know the times and what's happening in our times and what God says and doesn't say, and then we should be that voice out there. But we aren't. People aren't informed. They are not knowledgeable. And at the same time, what makes it even worse is the information is at your fingertips. It really is. No one should be involved in the political process and public policy other than God's people. We have the ability, we have the authority, we have the discernment, everything we need to actually be involved and bless people's lives. Proverbs says that when the righteous are in authority, when we rule, people rejoice. When the wicked rule, people moan. And when the righteous prosper, people benefit. It's over and over again, but we've neglected that. So I think this is an important issue that the church should be first and foremost in the public square, involved in elections, and involved in governing the country. Nobody should be in office except they're placed there by a church, by Christians.
That's right. Like your pastor, remember, Ron? And that's what we used to do, too. We put the flyer out on who was being elected for what or nominated for what.
E.B. Phillips. Paul,
Paul, did you have a question? You have a statement?
No.
No? Okay.
Let me share this next one. You might add. This is a
Che Guevara.
Yeah. Che Guevara. Part of it is when Will and I have been married for 34 years, and we used to listen to Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck, and these guys all got you know, badmouthed by a lot of liberals, but they would bring this guy's picture up and talk about him.
Yes.
So let me read what Wikipedia says about Che Rivera. He was an Argentine Marxist revolutionary, physician, author, guerrilla leader, diplomat, and military theorist, a major figure of the Cuban Revolution. His stylized visage has become ubiquitous, countercultural, a symbol of rebellion and global, the insignia of popular culture. He was a killer, a murderer. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I have something else. Let me see. So he was very, it's controversial because he was a Marxist, but he was a murderer. And he, I thought I had a screenshot of the kind of, the amount of people he killed. But after this picture, I want to show you another picture. But I learned all about this guy. And then I'm doing study tours at a college, Claremont College in California. And this picture was on the wall. Mm-hmm. Now, to a normal cult, you know, Claremont's a very artistic community, very liberal, but a very, you know, a lot of artists there. And this mural of Che was on the wall, a huge mural. And and this isn't the mural, but it just looked, it, to me, it flashed that memory of, because I knew about Che Rivera, I knew this was him. I had seen his picture and seen his picture. And people, maybe the person who put it up there knew who he was, but other people didn't, and nobody cared. But I wrote a letter to the administration mentioning this picture and who Che was. And so that's the, and nothing was probably ever done, and it's probably still there. I did study tours a few years there, and this was the one of the last years I did study tours there. Oh, maybe? No. Oh, put two and two together. I don't know. But anyway, just being aware. And I was saying, Will and I watch news. Young adults have to watch some news because they're busy with their jobs. They're busy with young kids and they're busy with older parents. But they got to get involved. They're a future, right? So they have to be informed. And so I just wanted to share that I was on the board of the International Dyslexia Association for 4 years. Wonderful organization. And they would invite different people to be board members. And the person I'm going to mention isn't on the board anymore, but she wanted to do a fundraiser with the transvestites at the library. And the transvestites would read the books to the kids, and it would be a fun fundraiser. She wanted to do a bingo with these transvestites.
Oh, my goodness.
Because of the popularity that they had at the library with the kids. Yeah. She thought that'd be a great, fun, entertaining event. And when I spoke to the president of the chapter, I was on the board, that would never happen. But I just thought, is this gal ignorant? I mean, she's a professor at this popular university and she's presenting this. And it never happened. But just that heads up of being in your, being involved, but being aware. Should I keep talking? I have one more issue.
Professors fall into the professor bias.
Liberal.
They dedicated their life to an idea, whether it be science or culture, and they want to prove it. So they will take the isolated facts from the one you put up or the other one you put up, and the ones that support their bias, they'll publish, and they ignore everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're professors in an ivory tower and they think they're smarter than everyone else at a university, no one can tell them. I mean, still the American Academy of Pediatrics hasn't come out and said, the drugs to slow puberty down are off the table. The surgery is still a go. They haven't changed their white paper. The other half, or bigger half, the real docs that are out there practicing, some different Academy of Pediatrics have said, yes, this is not the things we need to do anymore. But the ivory tower guys just can't, guys and gals can't, they can't, the hubris they have, they can't swallow their pride. And, okay, you guys are right. Data shows that you're right.
You know, people that say, well, God's in control, but he's assigned us, you know, ministries. We need to be involved, like Ron said. And then we're the salt of the earth, right? We're the light that needs to shine on the hill. We Christians need to speak up and get involved. You know, I was never, I never felt impressed to really run for school board in our community or a city council. And it's interesting because with the degrees that the Lord has allowed me to earn, I see it as it's coming into play now. I'm going to be, I'm applying for the library board in our school district. And even though we're trying to get the books that are in the schools that are pornographic, there's a like 300 of them around in different schools. I think our district had 100 has 120 of the titles or 80 of the titles. But we could, when you're on a library board in your community, you're going to be interacting with the schools about what's in the libraries and then what's in the general community library. Because if they're taken out of the schools, but they're left in the community library, you're not really getting it done 100%. You know, you're just
a back door.
People need to get involved in their community libraries.
Right. Yes.
Right.
That's what I want to encourage people.
It's like Ron said, we all got to be involved. Everybody in the church, we can't sit back and say somebody's going to do it now. And you know, it's not always a huge thing. It's the little things, what we say, how we act, who we are, what we do and standing in the Christian faith in the community today. Because like we said a week ago, light will not exist with darkness. Light will shoot darkness away and it's gone. But you know, too many of us have been riding the coast, or like I say sometimes, without chasing it. We have big mega churches, we do all kinds of big shows and this and that and the other, and yet where's everybody on the street one by one? Like where do we fit in? Like with Stephanie, with the ladies that come in, where we do this. Like you're out there blazing the trail, Marianne, and that's real important. And will what you guys do together this way? We don't, it's a balance, you know. I don't know, Paul and I used to talk about this. It's a balance. We don't come out of the bull shoot on a, I said bull shoot, make sure you heard that right, on a rodeo. Yeah, right, on a rodeo, got that wrong. So when you come out that shoot on the bull, you know, and everybody look at me. No, you don't want to draw a lot of commotion to yourself. It's like you were doing, Marianne. You want to put the truth out there in a loving way, but it's time for Christians to stand strong in what we say and say, I'm sorry if you don't like that, but that is the truth. And I happen to belong to the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus. And but know what the issues are. We don't have to be scholars on them, but, you know, it doesn't take much truth to unwind a woke.
Mm-hmm. Did any guys hear the prayer, the congressional prayer, for the opening Congress?
Yeah, done by John Higgs, Higgs. Pastor Higgs,
he has received a letter. I'm not sure if it was written to him or if it was written to the congressional leader,
to the leaders,
basically condemning him, Jack Hibbs, because when he was asked to do the prayer. And they gave him what the rules were, and no more than 100 words, and you can't say this, you can't say that. And so he wrote his prayer, and he handed it in, and they approved it. On his way there, the Holy Spirit convicted him, and he rewrote that prayer. And so what you heard was not what he handed in. So,
right, okay. Right. Amen.
Yes, invoking the name of Jesus.
There's
a Hispanic.
Saying Father God, well, just saying Father, you know, that you know, tweaked some people. So he got this long letter that was written just saying that, you know, he even involved in the instigation of January 6th.
That's right.
He's a racist. He's a Jew hater. Obviously, he is not. You know, I mean, everything they said he was, it was just the complete opposite of who he truly is.
Yeah. But, exactly.
You know, you ruffle the feathers, and they come at you with whatever they can think of, and you know, it's it's hilarious.
But his response is just like all men and women of God who just speak the truth in love, but they don't budge on it. Tank, you had a thought with Will there. Did you have something there?
Yeah, no, we were at a conference and there was a Hispanic pastor in Sacramento that was asked to speak in front of, I think, in front of the Washington Monument. Same thing. And so there were different well-known pastors or rabbis or, folks from different religions that spoke. And again, his buddy that had asked him from CBS or something, I figured he was covering it, like, could you tone it down? I'll just keep it. And he couldn't. I mean, he even got on stage. You know why people panic? Because we are his panic. He brought it. It was awesome.
I was referencing Pastor Samuel Rodriguez. He's great. Yep. If you want to look him up, we've actually been on a flight with him and started talking to him. And he couldn't hold back.
Yeah. He really went up.
Emailed Joe. I just sent you the letter that has the signatures of the Congress, that the Congress members that signed it. And maybe CJ could put that in the notes, or I don't know if there's a way.
You emailed or texted me, right?
I just emailed you right now.
Okay.
But that might be something CJ could be creative with if people want to see the letter. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, okay. That would be great. I'll try to get that.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. That was an email. I have a comment on legacy media, so I don't think people should be watching the news because it's garbage. Yeah. And most of it is scripted and you'll hear them repeat. And so I highly recommend going to alternative sources. There's a lot of things online. There's a lot of really good independent journalists out there. There's one I love, like younger folks that are really on social media. Her name is House in Habit, or that's her tagline. Her name's actually Jessica something. She is following actually Trump and RFK. I know we're talking about local stuff, but we also have the national stuff to think about.
Right.
And she gives such a fresh perspective of these people as humans. And it's not at all what you hear on the legacy media, and we're being sold a bag of goods. And so I really encourage people to look for these smaller sources that are doing what journalism is supposed to be.
Yes. Yeah. Journalism passed away, huh, Stephanie? Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't agree with that more.
What you said, Joe, is that, when we're talking the truth and not being tolerant, we're not saying that we hate these people. We feel sad for them. I mean, they're suffering. The suicide rate goes up in the kids that have surgery or on puberty blockers. It doesn't do any good. It makes it worse. So I just feel really bad. They need help. They need something to get, and whatever category you want to bring. It's like, like I said, once the schools become governmental, they want to take away the parents' rights. They start saying, look, we're not going to tell you what they call themselves. We're going to keep that from you. And, kids, they're highly influential. Again, I brought this up before, that group of girls that all got pregnant because there was the thing to do at some high school in middle America. So it's like,
that's why God gave us the home. Yeah, he gave us the home with the mother and the father. And when they're growing up, golly, I mean, I had it all together from when I was six. I knew everything, Right, Ron? But that's what you need help. That's when you've got to figure out who you are, right, Tank? And I know your story. I read the book, but it was good. Well, that's when we need God's word.
The good, the bad, the ugly,
Yeah. So we need that help. We need the support. And children need men's influence, like you and Stephanie talk. And Stephanie, they need mother's influence, just like we know. And those things are different. We come together. But I guess, when we speak the truth in love, we speak the truth like we're saying. We love the people, but we stand strong on it, what it stands for, what it is. And that's hard not to come across as arrogant sometimes. I mean, because it seems like in the past I've known so many that come across like, I'm God's answer to everything. And so you just, but you can't do that either, like you're saying, Tank, because some of them don't understand anyway. You got to love them still. And I did get that letter, Mary, and I'll get that to TJ. So I found it. Thank you. That ought to. So Ron, go ahead. You had a thought.
My encouragement to the people I talk with is, stop worrying and trying to be loving. Just stop trying. primarily because there is that food. Nothing you can do to appease Satan and those influenced by Satan, right? Now, again, I encourage them, you know, yeah, you don't want to be screaming and yelling and harsh, but at the same time, don't think about, okay, how can I be nice as I possibly can? This is what I related to, right? So I'm on a fire scene, and there's an accident where two of our guys are down in a basement, and the water's filling up, and they've got about maybe a couple minutes to get out of the basement. I need the guy to get to the window. I don't say, hey, buddy, excuse me. Would you please walk over to the window here? No, I scream because I want him to get his attention right away, and I want him to move. So there are certain elements within public policy and the people around me. I don't hesitate. I don't scream, but at the same time, I'm not diplomatic. I'm not, you know, nice, mamby-pamby, soft-spoken about
yes.
it. I say that is satanic. It is sinful. And if you keep doing that, it is going to destroy your life. But God says, and I leave it at that. And now let the Spirit of God do the work.
Amen.
Now there are some people who I have issues with, some of my pro-life people who are standing on the side with signs screaming at people. I'm going, okay, what's your point? If you want to bring attention to, okay, fine, you're doing that. If you want to save a baby if somebody's going to their clinic, no, it's not the best tactic to use. However, I have and I will at other times spend my time on a sidewalk walking alongside some woman being escorted into a clinic, and I'm going to keep talking to her. Now people think it's rude. They think I'm horrible, but no, it's dead desperate. So the other issue was that Stephanie mentioned. When you talk about in the news, that's why I shake my head going, no.
No, we both were like,
don't watch it. Don't watch the news. You know, there
we watch very specific news.
Yeah,
okay,
I watch,
yeah, there
I
you go.
One, specific. Only one. That's the only one I look at. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say online, and I'd say go multiple sources because even some of the conservative sources are a bit biased. Yeah. But there are a number of sources you can look at and look. You don't have to, and it doesn't take all day.
It depends who it is, too. If you know the people who are presenting the news, the individuals, because they don't waver, especially the news. I put a name, Newsmax, to me. These I know many on there that they're spot on what they share. These guys that are military men and all. You know, we gotta take a second here. This is such a good program running on time-wise.
DJ owes us more time because we started late. He owes us a few more minutes, right? Don't we have?
Right. Yeah, why'd my screen go blank? Where'd you guys go? Just kidding. So anyway, we're gonna take a second here, ladies and gentlemen. Again, we're so thankful you're with us each and every night. We're so thankful for those of you that support and make it possible for us to be with you. And we're going to do the Statue of Liberty play that these three ministers do, and we're going to pass the ball to Stephanie and ask her to share a word with you about why we're here and how you can help us.
Yeah, we thank you guys just for coming along with us and joining us here, whether it's live on Monday nights or on all the different outlets that you can find podcasts and streaming services. So if you go to the website, which is bbsradio.com/raising-expectations, you can find all the details about our shows. So where it is, how to listen live, how to listen to recordings about each of us as guests. But at the top there, I want to highlight there's a couple different ways that you can donate. You know, we're so passionate about sharing good information, wholesome, godly stuff, bringing people together, and it takes money to be on the air. So we appreciate anything that you can donate and give there. And actually, right below Pastor Joe's photo, there's some text. If you're struggling or you want to do it old school way, you want to mail in a check, we'll take your money. However you want to send it, we're happy to take it. So you can find all the details there.
Amen. If you scroll down that page, you can find the programs and see what they are. And
they'll be coming up for you each week. And you could go all the way back in time and then later you get Paul's final book on this. It's going to be a great one. the scribe will have scrolled and we will then have it ready for you. So our time has slipped away and we're so thankful that you've been with us tonight. Mary Ann, and you can call me Fred twice, Dr. Mary Ann, I'll be all right. And Will, you can too. I was on a roll, Ron. I got that round of applause down. Do you see that, brother?
You got that down, though. That was good.
Yeah, I got one. Thanks, bro. I got one down there. Right. Tank, it's always a blessing to see you, brother. We're praying for you. And, yeah, tell them to keep those electric lights on. The crop will be ruined. And thanks, Steph. Yeah. And see, down in Hyde, South Carolina down there for us. And Georgia. And we'll just be looking forward to, yeah, we'll be looking forward to seeing you. Pichu, there you are, right in the middle. All right, brother. God bless you and keep you.
Thank you so much.
A parting song. Yeah, we have a parting song that we'll be leaving you with it in just a moment. Now tune up, Ron, get ready. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week. Same time, same station, Raising Expectations, bbsradio.com/Raising Expectations. And we look forward to being with you. Pray for us. We promise to pray for you. And we know he's listening to all of us. God bless and keep you. Hit it, Ron.
Happy trails to you.
See you next week. Same time, same station.
Again.
All right.
Okay.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.